The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter number 10, text number 8, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on April 26, 2008, in Tallinn, Estonia.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 10th chapter, Maharaj Rahugana meets Jad Bharat, text number 8. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It's a long prose verse, so I'll just chant it on my own. Evaṃ bhāryavdam āpi bhaśyamānam naradheva vimānam rujasā tamasā nuvidhena madena tirakrasthaśe bhagavat priya niketam pandita maninam sabhagavān brahmano brahmabhūta sarvabhūta Suhrid Atma Gogeshvara Charyayam Nati Vyutpana Mating Smamana Eva Vigata Smaya Idam Aha. Translation and Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Thinking himself as a king, King Rahugana was in the bodily conception and was influenced by material nature's modes of passion and ignorance. Due to madness, he chastised Jad Bharat with uncalled for and contradictory words. Jad Bharat was a topmost devotee and the dear abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although considering himself very learned, the king did not know about the position of an advanced devotee situated in devotional service, nor did he know his characteristics. Jad Bharat was the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He always carried the form of the Lord within his heart. He was the dear friend of all living beings, and he did not entertain inly any bodily conception. He therefore smiled and spoke the following words, Purport. The distinction between a person in the bodily conception and a person beyond the bodily conception is presented in this verse. In the bodily conception, King Rahugana considered himself a king and chastised Jad Bharat in so many unwanted ways. Being self-realized, Jad Bharat, who was fully situated on the transcendental platform, did not at all become angry. Instead, he smiled and began to deliver his teachings to King Rahugana. A highly advanced Vaishnava devotee is a friend to all living entities, and consequently he is a friend to his enemies also. In fact, he does not consider anyone to be his enemy. Suhrida sarvadehinam. Sometimes a Vaishnava becomes superficially angry at a non-devotee, but this is good for the non-devotee. We have several examples of this in Vedic literature. Once, Narada became angry with the two sons of Kuvera, Nalukuvera and Manigriva, and he chastised them by turning them into trees. The result was that later they were liberated by Lord Sri Krishna. The devotee is situated on the absolute platform, and when he is angry or pleased, there is no difference, for in either case he bestows his benediction.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupa Sagra jatam Sagana ragunatan vitam tam sajivam Sadaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So, from this wonderful verse, we can learn this lesson. There is nothing more wonderful than a Vaishnava. Just consider how wonderful a Vaishnava is. Whether he is angry with you, or he is pleased with you, there is no difference. His pleasure or his anger, in either case, it is benediction. This was true with Narad Muni. It was also true with our beloved founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. It was also true with our beloved founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. One time in Mexico City, the devotees were out late the night before preaching. So the standard is in the temple everyone must be there for Mangal Arti. But that morning no one came for Mangal Arti. And when it came time for the Bhagavatam class, Prabhupada was like Nisringa. He was so angry the devotees did not come to Mangal Arti. He was roaring like a lion. And the devotees were shaking in fear. And he went on and on and on and on, chastising. And then when the class was over, Srila Prabhupada walked outside the temple room. So, Mexico, it is tropical climate. Mexico, there is a tropical climate. And there were some very beautiful, fragrant flowers growing just outside the door. So, my godbrother, Chitsukananda Prabhu, he was the temple president. Chitsukananda Prabhu was the temple president. And he made a habit of being like, always being like Srila Prabhupada's puppy dog. You see. He would follow Prabhupada around wherever Prabhupada would go. So when Prabhupada left the temple room, he followed him. And Prabhupada paused there for a moment outside the door. He paused, he stood still for a moment. So, Chitsukananda, he saw these beautiful fragrant flowers growing there. And he thought, why not offer one to my Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada? So he picked one flower and he handed it to Prabhupada. You see. And Prabhupada, with great relish, he took that flower and he smelled it and appreciated it very much. So Chitsukananda Prabhu, he was very amazed. He said, Srila Prabhupada, you are roaring like a lion with great anger. And now, 1 minute later, you're like a little gentle lamb. You were so angry, but now you're so peaceful. How is that, Srila Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, actually, I'm never angry, never really angry with you. And this is confirmed here by Prabhupada's purport. He says that sometimes a Vaishnava becomes superficially angry, you see. In other words, it is a show of anger only. It is a show of anger only. Because the Vaishnava, he has love, he has unlimited love for every living being. He sees every living entity as part and parcel of his beloved Krishna. Yomang pashyati sarvatra sarvangcha mayi pashyati tasyahang na pranashyami satchamena pranashyati. For one who sees me in everything and who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So that is the vision of a Vaishnava. He sees Krishna everywhere. And he sees everything existing within Krishna. So he sees everything going on by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, in his heart, he is never disturbed. He is dhira. He is dhira, undisturbed. He simply blesses everyone. Whether he smiles at them benevolently, or he gives them an angry look. In either case, it is his blessing. Actually, it is the blessing of Krishna. The spiritual master, the Vaishnava, he is simply the messenger on behalf of the Lord, that's all. In this connection, Srila Prabhupada explains, as we sing every morning at Mangalarti in the Gravastakam prayer, that this material world is like a blazing forest fire. And the spiritual master is the mercy cloud which extinguishes that blazing fire. But the spiritual master, he is not bringing his own mercy, Prabhupada explained. Does the cloud manufacture its own water? No. The cloud, it brings the water from the ocean. So that ocean is like Krishna. And the Vaishnava, the spiritual master, he is like the cloud. He is simply bringing that mercy from Krishna and delivering it to you. Just like there is that delivery service, DHL, courier service. You see. The Vaishnava, the spiritual master, he is DHL man for Krishna, that's all. So, in this way, we can understand how much King Rahugana was blessed by Jadbharat. This foolish king was chastising Jadbharat in so many ways, treating him like some ordinary sudra. He had no idea that a great Paramahamsa was one of his palanquin carriers. So, by the merciful words of Jadbharat, this foolish, proud, puffed-up king, he came to his senses. This is the power of the words of a Vaishnava. His words of wisdom cut through the ignorance. They cut through the false pride. They cut through the egotism. The tamagun, the rajagun, they cut. Therefore, the word sadhu has a double meaning. Sadhu means saintly teacher. It also means cut. Because there is in the heart there is a hard nut. In Sanskrit language it is called Hridaya Granthi. The hard knot in the heart. So the words of the sadhu, they cut that hard knot in the heart. Actually, it is not like a normal cutting. Normally, if we are cut, it is a very painful thing. But if we are cut by the sadhu, it feels very good. I'm being liberated from my misery. Just like if you're handcuffed. The handcuffs, like the police put on you. And you can't get out. But some friend comes with a saw and he cuts the handcuff. You see. Then it's a very nice thing to have that handcuffs cut. Because now I'm being liberated. So the sadhu, the Vaishnava, the spiritual master, he cuts through that hard knot in the heart which keeps us entangled in this cycle of birth and death. For how many lifetimes we've been suffering like anything in this material existence? Jalajanavalakshani, Stavada Laksha Vingshati, Krimayo Rudra Sankhyaka Pakshinam Dashalakshanam, Tringsha Lakshani, Bhashavaha, Chatur Lakshani, Manashaha. Through 8,400,000 species of life, we have been dragged by the cruel laws of material nature. Sometimes a fish. Yes. By the cruel laws of material nature, we have been dragged through these 8,400,000 species. We have been suffering in so many ways. Sometimes the fish. And then the fisherman catches us with a hook and we are pulled into the boat. And they cut off our head and they throw us in a frying pan. You see? And sometimes as a tree, we are suffering as a tree. We were coming yesterday from Tartu. We saw that so many trees along the side of the highway have been cut down, you see. So we're standing there as a tree, then they come and they cruelly cut. And then there are the insects and the reptiles. Can you imagine the life of being a mosquito? That you require to suck blood out of other creatures to live. What a horrible existence. To be a blood sucker. And when you go to try to suck the blood, they go... And you get smashed. So... In this way, finally we come to the four-legged animals. And then they fatten us up on the farm, and then they put us in the truck and take us to the slaughterhouse. So this material life is anything but fun. It's a hellish nightmare to be in this material existence. So when the sadhu, like Judd Bharat, enlightens us with transcendental wisdom, he is giving us the greatest boon, the greatest blessing. Because he is freeing us from the cycle of birth and death. He is empowering us. He is enabling us. He is blessing us that we can return to our original existence in the pastimes of the Lord. So that is the great mercy of such sadhus as Judd Bharat. So we should always hanker for the mercy of such sadhus as Judd Bharat. Because their association is the greatest blessing. We saw such an empowered sadhu in the form of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He was walking this earth amongst us. He was flying on the airplane. He was riding in the car. What a great blessing it was to have such a sadhu present with us on this planet. But then he did the unthinkable thing. We were so attached to Srila Prabhupada. And then one day in November of 1977, we thought he would never leave, but he left us here. He left us here. But he gave us one order. That you must all become sadhus. So now we have our order from Prabhupada. Each and every member of this ISKCON movement, they must become sadhus. And just as Judd Bharat preached fearlessly this message to King Rahugana, the ISKCON sadhus must fearlessly give this message to the kings, the prime ministers, and the leaders of this planet. That is our mission. That is our duty, given by our beloved founder Acharya. He is divine grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Astatarasadashi Shimadesi Bhakti Vedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Yeah. Yes, this is a very good question. And we're going along all enthusiastic, but then we slip, we mess up in our sadhana, and we become discouraged. So how does one recover their enthusiasm when they lose it because of slipping up in their sadhana? It's actually very easy. Thing. You just pick up where you left off, that's all. The order of your spiritual master is still there. The blessings of your spiritual master are still there. His relationship with you hasn't changed at all. The shelter that he has offered you, it is still there. His lotus feet are still there. So you just have to grab onto them once again, that's all. Simple thing, not difficult. Just like sometimes, but we every day we eat, we take prasad. But what happens if you become very sick and you cannot eat? Does that mean you will give up eating forever? Just like many years ago when I was brahmachari, in our Atlanta temple in the USA, we had an epidemic amongst in the temple of that, what is it called? Hepatitis epidemic. Disease of the liver. So we were all very, very sick. And I was so sick, I thought, I will never relish eating ever again. Eating is so horrible. In fact, I was so sick that if I drank water, I would vomit. And my eyes were yellow, very yellow, like this drum. We were very sick. But now I'm eating very nicely. Even though I thought I will never relish prasadam ever again. I'm telling you seriously, I was so... That disease had influenced me so much, I seriously thought I would never enjoy prasadam again for the rest of my life. But now I am relishing it very nicely. Especially here in Tallinn. You have very nice prasad. So, in this way, you may slip in your service sometimes. And you may think, oh, now I am finished. I will never regain my enthusiasm. But actually, all you have to do is grab once again for that mercy.
No,
and you'll find that it's still there and it's doing quite well. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? In the case of Maharaj Rahugana, even though he was proud and puffed up, he had some piety also. So that the piety was covered over by the pride of his pride and his false ego. But the words of Judd Bharat were so powerful, they penetrated through the pride and they touched his pious nature. Therefore, with the help of the words of Judd Bharat, he was able to overcome his pride and his puffed upness and actually appreciate the words. So the more powerful a Vaishnava is, the more of an impact he can have to purify the hearts of the proud materialists. So if we want to have a positive impact on this planet, if we, the ISKCON devotees, want to have a powerful spiritual influence on this planet, then we should strive for the utmost in personal purity. Because to the extent that we are pure, to that extent we become empowered to connect anyone and everyone with the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. If we can get the full Shakti of Lord Nityananda, just imagine how much power we will have as preachers. Lord Nityananda was able to convert Jagai Madai. They were big rakshasas. They were mafia. The mafia of Mayapur. They were women rapers, murderers, drunkards, thieves. They were the lowest of the low. But yet they became humble Vaishnavas by the powerful mercy of Lord Nityananda. So if we can become deliverers, pure deliverers of Lord Nityananda's mercy, we can convert even the Jagais and Madais of this planet to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we should try to become pure. by strictly avoiding the namaparad when we chant Hare Krishna mantra. Are there any other questions?
But from the other side, there is also said that we must all become sadhu and stay here and deliver fallen souls. But what should we meditate on? To go back to Godhead or to stay here and become sadhu and preach?
That is a very nice question. The best way to purify yourself, to go back to home, back to Godhead, is to do a first-class job of preaching here. In other words, there's no difference actually, they're both the same thing. Prabhupada confirms this point. He explains that the order of Krishna to surrender to me has been restated by Lord Chaitanya as preach to everybody. So if you want, you see, what is in the spiritual world, what is the highest rasa? Gopi Bhav, you see. And what is the mood of the gopis? They are always pushing everyone to Krishna, you see. There is no devotee more dear than Srimati Radharani. But what is Radharani's mood? She wants to recommend everyone to Krishna. Just like Prabhupada told us on one Radhastami, how we should pray to Radharani. That my dear mother, Radharani, please tell about me to your Krishna. Radharani, she will recommend, oh my dear Krishna, here is this Vaishnava. He is better devotee than me. So Krishna, he will notice, oh, better than you, Radhika? Who is this devotee better than you? Let me see who is this devotee. So this is the mood of the gopis. They want to humbly push everyone forward to Krishna. So, what is the mood of Lord Chaitanya? That is his mood also. He wants to push everyone forward to be with Krishna. So, the mood of preaching, that is the mood of Lord Chaitanya. In other words, the preacher, he is in the same mood as gopis. In fact, the one who is fully dedicated to pushing every single man, woman, and child on this the face of this planet to Krishna, they are already living in the spiritual world. They don't have to wait to go back to Godhead. Because they are already back to Godhead. We see this in Prabhupada, you see. Sometimes he would chant Jai Radha Madhava. He would go deeply into trance, losing all external consciousness. So those who are fully dedicated to saving the souls of this world, they are already situated in spiritual world. They don't have to wait to go back to Godhead. So there's really no difference between being a total 100% sadhu and going back to Godhead. This point is confirmed by Srila Prabhupada many times. He explains that the pure devotee carries Vrindavan with him wherever he goes. Wherever he sets his foot, that place becomes as good as Vrindavan. And we, his disciples, personally experienced that. We had personal experience of this. We could be with Prabhupada in some mundane place like an airport. But yet we felt that we were in Vrindavan, we were not in some mundane airport. You see? Because wherever Prabhupada went, that place was Vrindavan. So you should never think there's a difference between preaching and being qualified to enter Vrindavan. The more you embrace the preaching mood of spreading this movement, the more you're qualified to enter Vrindavan. Yes. Any other questions? So, question?
Yesterday on the lecture, you said that we should keep our both feet in one boat, in the world of spiritual world.
We should what?
We should be with both legs.
Keep both legs on one boat.
Yes, that's right. Not both feet in Krishna's boat. That's right. Why did I get married?
Yes.
Actually, it was arranged by my GBC. I was happily engaged as a brahmachari preaching Krishna consciousness. But then my GBC told me to get married. I was instructed by him to do that. Prabhupada told me to do whatever my authority says. I have a letter from Prabhupada. He said, do whatever your temple president or your GBC tells you to do. So my GBC said, okay, go marry this girl. I did it. I just surrendered brahmachari. That's all. Any other questions? Huh?
That would be a blind following. But marriage is not allowed. Is not married allowed in this camp?
Huh? Is blind following allowed?
No, I said that what you said, it seems like it's a blind following.
I mean, I could have refused, you know.
Yeah. But I
don't follow all your points, but I could have refused. But I was thinking it would help my preaching. Because what is the percentage of people on this planet who are brahmacharis, and the percentage in the general society, how many people are married and how many people are confirmed brahmacharis? Mostly they are married people on this planet. So I was thinking, as a preacher, I was thinking there's a real advantage in being married. I was thinking, in terms of preaching, for the sake of preaching, to be a married preacher has some advantages over being a sannyasi, you see. I thought it would actually be an advantage for me. Especially when I saw who it was that the GBC wanted me to marry. I saw this is a very good girl. Very dedicated, pure soul. And this person will be my lifetime assistant to help me in my preaching work. I thought it was a pretty good deal. I mean, I thought it was a better deal than a danda. A better deal than a danda. So I decided, you know, I could have said, no, I'll just hang on there and take a danda instead. But this is better than a danda. And actually, Prabhupada confirmed this point. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he sent his sannyasis to to Britain to start our movement in Britain. And they were not successful, they were a complete failure. But then he sent three grihastha couples. Jamuna and, Gurudas, and then Malati and Shamasundar, and then Mukunda and Janaki. Along with little Shamas, what was her name? Sarasvati. Yeah. So they went there, and what the sannyasis could not do, these householders, they accomplished. They attracted George Harrison of the Beatles. And they became a huge success in preaching, these householders, you see. So when I saw that Krishna advanced the nice, dedicated, pure-hearted, preaching-minded devotee, I thought, this is a good deal, I'm going to take it. The principle is to accept whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness and reject whatever is unfavorable. If the girl is unfavorable, better to stay brahmachari, you see. But I saw the girl was favorable. I said, all right, grasp them. All right, I'll get married. But actually, I never became grihastha. I went from brahmachari to vanaprastha. Because we never tried to have a family, we're just in the mood of preaching, like missionaries, you see.
Mm-hmm. что Махараш говорит, что ну, в настроении семьи как бы они не жили никогда, и они просто как проповедовали в этот промежуток времени.
What is it?
The question was, Prabhu's question was this, that you were saying yesterday that one should put both legs in Krishna's boat.
Yeah.
Why did you get married? So the question is this, that my question is now relating to that, is that a married man cannot have two both legs on the same boat.
You're asking, can he?
Yes.
Can a married man be pure?
Yes.
Or is he necessarily in Maya?
Yes.
Okay. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. If a married man is if by definition a married man is in Maya, that means Krishna was a fool. Because he accepted a married man as his guru, Sandipani Muni. In ISKCON, some people think, well, unless you're a sannyasi, how you can be a guru? But they fail to note that Krishna's guru was a married man. Krishna was not only obedient to Guru Maharaj, but he was also obedient to Guru Mata. You can read in the Krishna book how Krishna went to the forest with Sudama on the order of Guru Mata. And another point is this, how many mothers do we have in the Vedic culture? You know how many mothers we have? Seven mothers, yes. Not six, but seven. There is the real mother, you see. There is the nurse. There is the cow. There is the wife of the Brahmin. There's the wife of the king. There's the earth. And who is the seventh mother? The wife of the guru. So, who says that guru cannot have a wife? Does he want to rewrite the Vedas? That there are only six mothers? And another point in this connection, as we explained by Srila Prabhupada, in his purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, according to the Pancharatna, the only person who can give diksha is a grihastha Brahman. But Lord Chaitanya gave an instruction. Kiva vipra kiva nashi shudra kene noe jay krishna tattva say guru hai. Because Lord Chaitanya said that anyone who knows the science of Krishna can become a guru, therefore sannyasis can also become gurus. But formerly the system was only grihastha brahmins could be gurus, no one else. No sannyasis. That's how Prabhupada explains it. But because of Lord Chaitanya's order, therefore sannyasis, they can also give diksha. Lord Chaitanya did not say, now sannyasis can give and married men cannot give. He did not say that. He said, now anyone who knows the science of Krishna, they can become guru. So does that answer your question? Thank you very much. Interesting question.
My question
yeah.
is still the end.
Oh, yours was not answered.
The question is this, isn't the Gahastha supposed to put his two legs on the same boat also?
Of course.
Okay.
Gahastha is to become a pure body. We have in this movement 5 kinds of brahmacharis. Did you know that? 5 kinds of brahmacharis. We have brahmachari brahmacharis. We have brahmacharini brahmachari. We have grahastha brahmacharis. We have vanaprastha brahmacharis. And we have sannyas brahmacharis. 5 kinds of brahmacharis in ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada says brahmachari means he only has sex for producing Krishna conscious children. That is brahmachari. He also describes Goswami in the same way. That Goswami means he only uses the genitals for producing Krishna conscious children. He only uses his genitals for producing Krishna conscious children. So a married man, he can also be Goswami. If he is strict in his sense control. So, any other questions? We have 2 minutes left. Everyone satisfied? Bhakta Vaiko.
Light is good. But it was better than the guru was like a householder. Light was good. What is the advantage? Why light was better?
What is the advantage? What is the advantage of being Guru
Grihastha? Well, every position has its advantages. In my situation, being a guru as a married man, the advantage is that my female disciples, they have access to Guru Mata, who's a special thing. With a sannyasi guru, there's not that. The girls would be hesitant to talk about their married problems with the sannyasi. But if the guru is a married man, then they feel more comfortable than talking about their marriage problems with their spiritual master. Now someone may say, but is that really proper for a spiritual master to give marriage counseling? Someone may argue that it's not really proper. You see. Someone may say, but it's not proper for a guru to give marriage counseling. But Srila Prabhupada explains that in Vrindavan, Sanatan Goswami, he regularly gave marriage counseling. In married life, sometimes there is fight between husband and wife, you see. The wife, she has her argument. And the husband, he has his argument. And they go fighting, and they can never resolve the argument, you see. So, they would go to Sanatana Goswami. The wife would give her side, and the husband would give his side. The husband would give his side of the story, and the wife would give her side of the story. And then Sanatana Goswami would say, "You were right, and you were wrong." And they would accept it on the authority of Sanatana Goswami. So in this way, dhira dhira jana priyo priyo karo. And they were dear to everyone, the Goswamis. Goswamis were dear to everyone. Because they were so merciful to everyone. Even he would hear their marriage problems, you know, husband and wife. And he would resolve their marriage problems. You see. Not that he's simply writing books. Any other question? Our time is up. So, thank you all very much. There will be an initiation ceremony today at 2 p.m. Everyone is invited. Rantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.